Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Coming to you today from our offices in Minneapolis, where I'm sitting here with Roy Snell, our former CEO, and Karen Lachana-Kenny, who was the editor of his most recent books. Roy, Karen, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Glad to be
thank
here,
you.
Sir.
And Roy, first, congratulations on the publication of the book. You've done a lot of writing for the association through the years. But never a book before. What was your goal in writing it?
Actually, I got the idea for the book from Yogi. We hired Yogi to help us with our publishing, and he kind of studied me a little bit and my relationship to the profession. And he thought it would be good to write a book that kind of gave a little bit of the history, and then Karen and I kind of walked that idea into also sharing some stories and lessons learned along the way.
Well, I think, you know, that's how most people in compliance do learn, is doing it along the way, which sort of segues into my next question and comment is, I think the title is appropriate both for you and the vast majority of people in compliance. I mean, compliance wasn't a career goal for most people. It's something they ended up doing. After reading the book and knowing you for something like 15 years now, I mean, we first met when I was still at LRN and exhibiting and speaking at SCCE meetings. I know you think the fact that people ending up in this profession as opposed to setting out to be it can be a good thing. So why is that?
By the way, one of the things Karen and I just did was sign books at the Compliance Institute a few weeks ago, and people literally walked up to us and said, the reason I'm buying this book is because I accidentally got into this profession. To answer your question, I'm not so sure it's as accidental as we would like to think. I give leadership a lot more credit than most people at picking us better or with more thought than we give them credit for. I think they kind of understand the role that we have and are grabbing people out of the organization quite often in the early days anyways, who had previously exhibited the traits that would be necessary to be successful in this job. At the same time, there have been a lot of us who saw jobs like this and expressed a little bit of interest in it because we are attracted to doing things related to this job, which is help prevent, find, and fix ethical and regulatory problems. So yeah, we got into it by accident. We didn't go to college for this. We didn't have an uncle in the business and want to follow in their footsteps. We got into it accidentally, but there are a lot of us who should be here, and there was a little more thought put into it than sometimes we give people credit for.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm reminded, I think it was Branch Rickey had the great line that says, luck is the residue of planning.
Yeah.
And in some ways, the fact that you may have blundered into this profession, you may have felt like you blundered in, but others saw this person would be a good fit for it. Now, let's talk about the book itself and how compliance people can get the most out of it. You've got it filled with what you call Royisms and Roy's rules. Can you tell folks what they are and how they can use them?
First of all, it was kind of funny. Originally, Karen came to me with ideas about making the book more interesting with photos, sidebars, Roy's rules, and Royisms. Like Yogi, I've learned a lot about publishing lately. These folks who are involved in this put a lot of thought into it. She actually talked to a few people about what I have done. And a few of them mentioned he has these Royisms, things that he repeats a lot. And Then she thought of the idea of the Roy's rules, which were sentences we would pull out of lessons that were more relevant than maybe some of the others. But
I'd say they're the takeaways from the lessons.
It's so excellent. It's actually funny you should mention that, Karen. There are takeaways from the lessons. And if I remember correctly, was it your idea, Adam, to put takeaways in the back of the magazine?
Yeah, actually it was. So thank you for remembering that.
Well, it's these extremely good ideas, in my opinion, are easier to remember. Those are days when you smack your forehead and you wonder why we didn't do that in the past. And by the way, in our magazines at the end, we have about four or five takeaways on a perforated page that people who read the magazine can pull out and remember or share. And so Karen and I kind of use them to highlight some of the bigger points. And frankly, any great educator will tell you, I'm certainly people who are good at publishing the same thing, is what's the point? You know, why are we having this chapter or lesson or paragraph or sentence? There's what's the point? And I think quite often, particularly books are written as a sea of text and don't get to it. So that was a lot of fun incorporating all of those things into the book.
So going through the book, as you're going through the process with Roy writing it, was there a favorite lesson for you?
Yeah, my favorite lesson was lesson 10, Sowing Seeds of Compliance Around the World. Roy sent me a video of Bojan Bajic accepting the SCCE International Compliance Award. And I just loved his story about how his important work he's doing in Bosnia. And it just, it was it brought a real human aspect to what compliance professionals do around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that was, I think, an amazing night. I mean, I met Bojan before, but still, you know, when that recognition came, you know, between him and his colleagues talk, I don't think there'd ever been more laughter or tears at
right.
one of those
mm-hmm.
meetings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, realize as difficult as compliance can be, you know, in the U.S. or Europe or many
right.
of the leading cities in Asia and parts of the world, it's an uphill struggle in the rain on ice.
Yeah, it's a battle.
Yeah.
So
it's tough. So one of the lessons I got to admit I particularly like is the study your failures to find a better way
mm-hmm.
lesson, which I think is a really great adage. I think too often in business, failures turn into blame games. Who's at fault? You make a very good point that it's actually an opportunity to learn. So how do we in compliance make the most of the learning?
I think the first thing that the compliance folks could do with this is put a spin on the problems. Somebody wrote a review, I think it was Matt Kelly, who talked about how I emphasized things like this and said, you know, everybody should look at this more positively. The lack of resources, the problems that occur, the resistance that occurs is the job. So let's just accept that and move on from it. I'll give you one example that I didn't put in the book, but we were doing a big investigation and somehow the press got a hold of it and put it on the front page of the local newspaper, and I was horrified for about 5 minutes. And then I realized that as unfortunate as this was, that it was sending a message to everybody in the organization that we were taking this seriously. And this was 23 years ago or so, and so people didn't know what a compliance program was. I mean, I hadn't even heard of it. There'd been no talk of it, and it was a new concept. And so from very early on, I just looked at the pain as something that would in some way help us down the road. you know, to at a minimum, to probably not make that same mistake again. So pain is part of the deal. It's part of learning. For some of us, we learn a lot better doing than reading. So I would embrace it as much as you can.
But even if you'd learn better by doing, they should still read your book.
Okay, just so we're clear.
What is it that you loved about that lesson?
I just think too often, like I said, it's a blame game as opposed to the fact that mistakes are inevitable. Mm-hmm. And even when somebody does something horrible, it's a question to ask, well, how did this get through? And I look at when we do that program every year with the FBI, they talk about their core values. And one of the things they talk about was a case that went horribly wrong, where they misidentified a bomber as being a professor in Oregon who all sense that there's no way this guy could have done it, but the fingerprints matched. And they eventually realized, no, they made a mistake. And the question wasn't, okay, who do we blame for screwing up this identification? But ask the bigger question is, how could we as an institution have done something like this, and how do we go back and do things? Because ultimately, if the organization owns the error as opposed to trying to find a person to blame it on, that's where the change can come from. And I also have to go back to my years in marketing when I worked in direct response advertising, where every ad went out, you could track where the responses came from, whether which ad they saw, what publication, what TV show they watched it on. The adage always was, the saying was, the only test that's a failure is the test where you can't read the results. Mm-hmm. And if you can see what works and what doesn't, you know better, this isn't going to help, we got to go this way. And I think it's a good way to approach life, because it makes everything about learning, not who you can you blame for something.
Right.
Good point.
So you spent a lot of pages in the book on the subject of independence, both explicitly and implicitly. For the compliance officer, many of the successful war stories that you tell are only successes because the compliance officer had independence. What do you think we in compliance need and should even demand to have the independence to do the job properly?
I think about this constantly. I was just revisiting the story that I shared in the book about independence. Let me try coming at it from this way. If you look at Michigan State, Penn State, Enron, WorldCom, Wells Fargo, there were all these examples of problems that were known for a long period of time, and people continued to get harmed after a significant material number of people in leadership knew there was a problem, yet they didn't solve it. You have to ask yourself, why did people who didn't cause the problem not solve it and then end up becoming part of the problem? Because when it was found out they knew and didn't do anything about it, it looked like a cover-up or incompetency or whatever. And the problem is that these people are just dripping with conflicts of interest. At a minimum, I don't want this happening on my watch. I don't want the pain involved. I don't want to have the press find out and there be bad PR. And so if you have one person who you train, who has trained their whole career to forget about the bias, forget about picking sides, forget about the consequences, just focuses on accurately getting the facts and fixing the problem, then a lot of problems are prevented, known problems are fixed. The bottom line is somebody in the building of every company has to focus solely on preventing, finding, and fixing the problem, and not anything else. Because these anything else things tend to be conflicts of interest. So I just think it's essential. It's at the core of an effective compliance program. We've got to try harder to give compliance professionals the ability to say, The only thing I care about is what's best for everybody. Let's get this done. I'm not worried about sales. I'm not worried about, I am worried about PR, and the better PR move would be to fix the problem now as opposed to let it rot, these sorts of things. Somebody with a clear mind.
So finally and quickly, since we're really out of time, any more books coming?
Oh, good question. Don't you think? Why don't you start and I'll...
We'll be working on a book about integrity. And Roy will be interviewing different people in the industry. We'll be featuring profiles, possibly more Royisms. And we're really excited to get started on it.
It's going to be a different book in the sense that it'll probably apply to more people. And I personally think that we have kind of lost our focus in our particular culture. There are many cultures around the world that have varying degrees of problems with integrity. We want to talk about fact-finding and making better decisions on more information, and we want to talk about bias and conflicts of interest and things we were just talking about that cause people to make bad decisions. And I love the last book. I when we got done, thanks to Karen's help and Yogi's ideas, I think it turned out great. But I am more excited about this one. I think people need this right now, and hopefully it'll help compliance professionals and beyond.
It sounds like it, and it sounds fascinating, and I'm looking forward to reading it. Well, Karen, Roy, thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and thank you for the book. It's a great addition to the Compliance Library. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.